be sharing some notices just towards the end of the service, but we're just gonna move on. And so I'm gonna need some help through my talk this morning. So if at different moments, I'd love it if some of the youngsters would come and give me a hand as I kind of forget what I'm meant to be doing. It'd be really great if you can come and help me. But we just want to say a really warm welcome to you this morning. It's great to be here together. If you don't know, my name is Tim. I lead the team here. And if you're here for the first time, you're so welcome. It's great to have you here with us, and you're so welcome here this Sunday, a special Sunday. As we've been sharing, we've been singing, we're celebrating the goodness of Jesus and how he's risen from the dead. And we, like I said earlier, we get to see the cross and his death and remember that he went to the tomb and that the stone is no longer in front of it because he is alive. He is no longer there. He's not there anymore. And so that's what we're here to celebrate. I want to just pray before I start. Lord, we just pray that you would be with us here this morning. Lord, that you would just open our hearts, open our eyes. Lord, help us to see some of this story fresh and new this morning. Lord, lift our spirits. Lord, help us to grasp the joy and the goodness of what you've done for us. Please, Lord, be with us this morning, we pray. Amen. So we read out right at the beginning some verses in Matthew 28, 1 to 10. So if you wanted to follow along in your Bibles, on your phones. But I was going to look at just two things that come out from this story. One is around Jesus' story and his significance. And secondly is looking at, well, what about our story? What about our story and the significance for us? So here's my first time where I need a helper. Who knows how to build a Jenga tower? Because I've suddenly forgotten. Yes, do you want to come help me? Yeah, come help me, come help me. Okay, you're right. Okay, every time that I say, I am, okay, where Jesus says something like, I am, I want you to add another three rows, like another three blocks to this tower. Can you do that for me? Perfect. So we'll practice. So I will say, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And I want you to add three on top of that. Perfect, perfect. So Jesus made loads of claims in his life about who he was. He made loads of claims. Like one of them was, just said, I am the bread of life. And when he said that, he was saying that Jesus, he is the one who alone can sustain us, alone can feed us. That's who he is. For us who are looking for food, who goes around looking for food? I'm always going around looking for food, okay? Like a little Hoover, trying to see what I can find. He said, I am the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He is the one who illuminates and was there at the beginning, the key source of light in this universe. For those of us who are blind, he is the one who lights the way. He said, I am the gate of the sheepfold. I am the only way in which, hey kids, love, you can run around, just be careful of it. Hey girls, they've gone. Just be careful of this table because I don't want it crushing the lovely plants or them particularly, but mainly them or the lovely plants that we've borrowed, please. So just be careful of the table. I jest, in part. Here's the gate. The only way in to eternal life is through him. He said, I am the good shepherd. Perfect. Fine job, Kezia. Jesus knows and cares for those who are like lost sheep wandering around. That's who he said, I am the good shepherd. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He is the key that unlocks the door for escaping spiritual death, for escaping death. Jesus is the key for eternal life. For those of us who are doomed by our sin, you're doing an excellent job. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the accessible path, the illuminating light and the giver of life for those of us who are lost, ignorant, and dead without him. He said, I am the true vine. All of those who, he's the source of eternal life. All those who share in him will be part of the vine, not like useless branches. Wow, look at this tower. You've done a fine, fine job. I've got one more task for you to try and do for me. I want you to take this block. Okay, can you see this block? Without this tower falling down. Can you try and do that for me? I reckon. Ah, I want you to give everyone a big hand to Kezia. Perfect. Thank you, Kezia. Thank you. This tower, this block is all of those claims that Jesus made is built on the resurrection. If Jesus doesn't come back from death and rise again, all of that other stuff that he said is nonsense. It's all nonsense. The tower is built on the resurrection. And if this goes, the tower crumbles. Because he's not who he said he is. He can't be the author of salvation. He can't be the giver of life. He can't be the one who will save us if he can't come back himself. For him to be who he says he is, the Son of God, is built on the resurrection. And Paul says this, that the author Paul writes to a group in Corinthians, a group of people called the Corinthians in a town called Corinth. And he says as much. If Jesus doesn't come back to life, then why are we gathering here together? It's built on that. It all hinges on the resurrection. And even his enemies knew that. The Pharisees and the chief priests, they knew that for Jesus' message to carry on is built on his resurrection. And so in those verses just beforehand, from what we looked at in the end of chapter 27, you'll see that they run to the judge, Pilate, who was in charge. They run to him in the way, say, if the disciples steal his body, they'll carry on. They'll carry on saying he is alive when we know he's dead. So we want you, Pilate, judge, to make the tomb secure. And so he does that. He goes, fair enough. And so what he does, the stone is back in front, and he puts a guard of elite soldiers in place, roughly around 16 soldiers. So we've got a nice rows here. We've got one row, two row, three row, and plus Eileen, that is our 16 elite soldiers. All of you get placed in front of the tomb in groups where you have like your own little space to guard. Some of you get to have a little nap. Some of you don't, but you have your own little space and you rotate. 16 of you are in front of this tomb. And then what they do next is they seal the tomb. They put wax or clay around the outside of the stone to make it tamper-proof. If you've got your Easter eggs from this morning, okay, and you want to make sure that no one tampers with your Easter eggs, you might put them in a box. And what you might then do, if you're like me who likes to hoover up food, you might put some tape over that box. And then you will know that when you next come to your box, if the tape is as you left it, you know your Easter eggs are fine, right? If the tape isn't like it, you know that like, there's some ripped bits of paper there. You're thinking, which one of my siblings, if you have siblings, or my parents have, I mean, Ken quickly went out there, didn't you, Ken, to go and grab some. Yeah, sure, to protect. You know, who's been at my Easter eggs? Okay, who's been at it? And there's the same principle. They wanted to put a seal around it so no, they would know if some of the disciples had tried to sneak around to get Jesus' body. And you have an elite guard, well, three rows, and Eileen, and then you have the seal around it. No one's going to get past that sneakily to get to the body. The body's going to stay there. And it's a fresh tomb. No one else has rested in here. It's a fresh tomb. And then we have mourning on the third day. And the two Marys are approaching the tomb in this version to look at it further, as many of us did on Friday, to come and just reflect and to sit at the tomb. And there's this huge earthquake, and an angel of the Lord comes down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolls back the stone, which has an emphasis of being really shoved, really pushed, pushed really hard with force. One angel rolls it back. And his appearance, lightning, white as snow. And what do our 16 elite guards do? They tremble and fall flat, faint, unable to move, jelly legs. Jesus, in his early days of ministry, would say, when he does a miracle, don't tell anyone. Okay, don't tell anyone. I want you to, my time has not yet come. And we see in this moment, there is a declaration in the heavens. This is not a jailbreak by Jesus busting out in a sort of, although he could have, this is not a jailbreak from him. This is God coming down, sending an officer of the court to unlock the door in the realm for all to see, to say death no longer has a hold on this man. He is free to go. He is free to go. It's for all the realm, in the spiritual realms, to see, to declare that Jesus has risen from the dead, that he is who he said he is. God is proclaiming that God is in control. He is the creator, the one who can give life and the one who can take it away. That Jesus, through his death and his resurrection, has conquered sin and death. That there is new life and that there is hope for eternal life. We're going to look at our story next. But here's just some thoughts, just really posing questions for us. It's good to reflect on. If the authorities had the body, the chief priests and the Pharisees, if they had the body, why would they not just bring it out? The quickest way to shut down the whole thing, here he is, he's dead. Job done. If the disciples stole and lied and took the body, how far do you go for a lie? You know, when we all sometimes tell a lie and we're thinking, I'm in too deep now, but I've got to keep going. You know, we've all been there. Some of you laugh, but we've all been there. They went and faced horrible deaths for this lie. I know I'd stop at that point, be like, you're right, actually. please don't lead me away. Why did the Roman soldiers, our elite guard, three rows, and Eileen, why did they have to go to the chief priests for protection? The sentence for an elite guard like this, who was guarding something, if they were to fall asleep on the job, or if they were to lose their prisoner, is death. In the book of Acts, Jesus' closest friends, Peter, escapes from prison. And Herod, another ruler at that time, investigates the situation. They don't know where Peter's gone, and so they execute the guards. Why do they run to the chief priests for protection? And last, well, who did roll away the stone? You know, who did roll away the stone if not for maybe an angel? These are just questions to ponder, to muse over. And so what about us? What's our story? What about the significance for us? So our story is based on substitution and sharing. The Bible makes it very clear that we have all fallen short of the standards of God. For me, I have done wrong against God, and that I have done wrong against other people. says that in Romans 3:23 that we've all fallen short. And it says, the price to pay for when you fall short is death. That's what it says. That's the price to pay. And it's a problem because God loves us so much, but in that situation, what can we do? What can we do? We're prone to doing wrongdoing, and we cannot escape our punishment. However, God, in his kindness towards us, he changed that. I need another little helper. Anyone else like to give me a hand? Yes. No. No one wants to. Anyone want to give me a hand, please? It's very simple. You don't have to do anything. You just need to put some things up on this cross. Okay. So you might need to be a little bit taller. And come on, Jasmine. Come on, Jasmine. There's nothing. Yeah, thank you. Go. Yeah, I've got it all. Okay, when I tell you, I'd like you to put those, just tape them to the cross, if that's okay, when I call them out. Is that okay? Yes, I've got some tape for you. Don't worry. Now, you can help, yes. Well, engineers would say if it doesn't stick, use more tape, okay? So take the same approach. And I tried earlier, these bits didn't quite work, but this is quite nice. Stick as much of it as you can to there for me. So here's my account. Okay, it's very small print, very, very small print. But this is the account for my life, all the good that I've done across my life, and all the bad that I've done across my life. Do you know what? It is riddled, page after page is riddled with all of my wrongdoings, all the things that I have done wrong. It is riddled with lies, all the times that I have lied. For example, when I was a boy, I believe I tripped up my sister. Try to remember differently these days, but I believe I tripped up my sister deliberately, and I pretended that, well, I lied that I didn't, and it was an accident because I didn't want to get in trouble, you know. Lies. Sorry to all those involved in my lies. It's filled with gossip, times of gossip, where I have looked to win favor with different people by sharing news that's not mine to share. It's full of envy. For example, as I look at all these nice houses that different people have, and I go, why can't I have a nice house like that with a nice garden and nice maybe car parking spaces and all of these things? Why can't I have what they have? It's full of being rude. You know, moments where I've said comments and anger to my wife, my best friend, because I'm irritated and I want to have the last word, which I often try and do, because I want to be vindicated. It's full of those moments. Sorry to you as well. There you go. Full of times where I've put God second in my life, have I pursued other things? It's full of times when I've been selfish. Yeah, just run it along the top. Or it's full of times where I've been selfish, where I've wanted to get what I want and not what others want. I don't want to put others first. I want to get what I want out. Full of times when I've self-pitied, when I found myself just indulging in my feelings of hurt or woe is me. Look at all I've done and why are people not happy? It's full of grudges where I've been hurt. I want to forgive. I want to stay angry at different people. Hmm. And most of all, which is probably the one that is most worse, it's full of shame, where there are so many things in this book of my life that if you were to know what I am like, thank you, Jasmine, if you were to know what I'm like, you'd have a completely different view of me. Because you would say, all the things that happen in my head, all the things that happen in my heart, all the things I'll do in secret, if you were to see all of those things, you'd be like, how does this guy lead a church? And all of us will have those things that, you know, these are the ones I'm willing to share publicly, I suppose, you know, let alone these things. What might your story say? What might your story say? In recent years, my auntie for Christmas would get us a box of Italian goods. So there'd be pasta, there'd be just like other things. There'd be wine, and then I kind of just ran and forget really. Maybe some peppers in a jar, something like that. But we'd get a box of Italian goods. Who's like Italian food? Yeah? I love Italian food. Just love all food, thank you. Yes, absolutely. Italian food. I'm not picky. And we get this big box and we divide it out, and you know we'd share it around the family, and often, we'd share out the wine, and I'd quite like to take the bottles of wine from this box to whenever we go over for a Sunday roast at home, because I'd like to just to you know share the wine, you know, from the gift with everyone, and. My father passed away 2 years ago, just over 2 years ago, and I took the last bottle. This is the last bottle that we had on from our side in his last days. So I was hoping that there might be an opportunity for us to share a glass, share that final glass of wine together, because he had palliative care, so we knew that his time was coming to an end. And it didn't happen. Didn't have that chance to share that final glass together. And so this bottle sat in my cupboard at home for the last 2 years. Because I kind of think, oh, it feels like it needs to have a special occasion attached to it. And there's not really been one that I can kind of think of. And it's not that, like, he would know that I would like to do this. He would know, he'd just be like, I'll just turn up with a bottle of wine. I'd like to just enjoy in that moment. And it has real father-son value to me. And on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he shared a final meal with his disciples. Where he said, then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I will not drink from this fruit from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
Okay.
At the cross, the Father didn't withhold his only Son for us. Jesus, who went willingly, allowed himself to be exchanged for you and me, for our wrongdoings, hanging on the cross. And he took the punishment that I should receive. All these things. The cross was bare before, because that was a reflection of Jesus' life. Filled with all the things that I have done. And the Father sent his Son to die for us. So that he would pour out. Every drop of his life over our stories. Every drop of his life. He didn't spare one drop of his Son's life, his Son's blood for us. It's a substitution story. This is our stories. His blood washes the pages of our stories clean. Every page. Every page. Because Jesus' blood makes us new creations. Where the old has gone. The old story is gone. The old ways are over. And our story becomes clothed in his righteousness. Meaning that when God looks at us, he doesn't see all of these things. Instead, he sees the righteousness, the purity, the holiness of his Son. And he calls us children of God. And it's a sharing story. So it's a substitution where we get what Jesus gave. And it's a sharing because we get to experience the same thing of Jesus. That there will come a time when all of us will go to the grave. Unless Jesus calls us home differently. But there will come a time when all of us will go to the grave. All of us will find that this stone becomes rolled in front of our tomb. And as with the image of Passover, the walls become coated by Jesus' blood, by his love for us. And so there's a time when God will say, roll that stone away, unlock that tomb. They are mine. They are mine. And they can walk through. Where you and I can walk through into eternal life. Where the punishment is not what we get what we don't deserve. We get blessing instead of death. Those in the house of the Lord, those verses, sorry, lyrics rather. We were beggars, now we're royalty. How good is that? We were prisoners, trapped in this tomb. Now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. The house of the Lord sing praise. And there's a promise in Romans 10:13 that says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. Means there is nothing that you've done that can disqualify you. There's nothing that sits in this category that can disqualify you from the love of Jesus, the blood that's been poured out. There's nothing. He loves you, calls for you, and Jesus has done it, and we just need to accept him, say sorry for these things. And the promises are for us. This whole stack of tower, those promises are for us. Everything that's built on the resurrection is for us. And it's great news. And that's why we celebrate the resurrection. That's why we celebrate the resurrection. Because he's done exactly, shame falls away from our lives. Yeah? Amen. Let's go invite the worship team back up. And we're going to have a final song. While we stand, I just want to pray for us. Yet gave my wife and my sister zero warning about that. If you don't know the Lord yet and you'd like to, if you'd like to have that feeling of all of your sins and shame and wrongdoings to be covered by his blood, I want to just say a prayer. And why don't we all just say amen at the end, because it's so true for each one of us. We want to remember in that. And I just want to pray for us that we'd be full of joy. We can't have one without the other. We need his death and we need his resurrection as both and. But I want to pray for us that we'd be full of joy and we'd go from here, this memory. So if you want to say in your heart, well, actually, why don't we all just say it out loud, and then it'll help, just repeat these words after me. And let's all join in, even though those of us who are, we hold on to this for ourselves. Jesus, I want to thank you for your death. You have forgiven me. You have cleansed me of my sin. Jesus, I want to know you more. Please reveal yourself to me. I want the promise of eternal life. And to put my life in your hands. And to trust you always.